Now, the session that I'm going to do today, caring for those with a traumatic brain injury, comes from personal testimonies, cases, experience, like many of these sessions do. Growing up, I thought traumatic brain injuries were devastating injuries that resulted in the person being unable to function in a normal way. So my mind went to people who were in a vegetative state, or coma, or brain dead, or unable to function without significant help. These are people on disability. But about 6 years ago, I learned that I was wrong. My categories, according to the National Institute of Health, were too narrow. What I was talking about were what they call abnormal conditions from a severe TBI. It didn't include, my definition, didn't include mild TBIs or more severe TBIs that didn't result in the same extreme consequences. I had assumed that it was like a normal sickness. You have it, you get over it after a week or so, and then you move on. But the Lord has made clear through two very distinct cases that that's not true. And I'm going to have some videos in this session that are testimonies. So I'm going to have a couple of case people that I'm going to tell their stories. I'm going to use their real names. They give me permission to do that. If you met these people in person, you would have no idea that anything happened to them. They are smart, articulate, able to think logically. They're able to work. They're capable of adult interactions. They look like nothing is wrong. But to those closest to them, discernible changes occurred. How they get through a day, think about life, interact with family and friends, relate to their world, take steps of growth, they're all different. Here's just a short clip from one of my cases to illustrate that point.
All right, thank you for joining and for your willingness to share your story. You know, we use the Biblical Counseling Training Conference for lots of purposes. One of them is to address issues that maybe every counselor doesn't face on a weekly basis. And so they are often looking for help because they know there could be something like this. And so I really appreciate your willingness to come and be a help to those who are seeking to serve others. I wanted to start, Katrina, with you. You mentioned that right after Darren's TBI, that you noticed changes in him, but that other people didn't necessarily notice them. And in fact, there was even a period of time where it was frustrating because everybody thinks Darren's back to normal, and you're thinking, Darren is not back to normal. And what did you notice that other people struggled to see?
I feel like his entire personality had turned on its head, and he was able to sort of like when you're sick and you're not feeling your best, but when you really need to be able to function, you can sort of push yourself through, and you know, maybe somebody can seem like you're not feeling at your best, but you know, they can just chalk it up as you're not feeling great. But outside of the moments where Darren was really having to force himself to function normally, at home he was completely withdrawn and reserved, and he couldn't handle conversation. He couldn't handle any of the noise from our kids. He couldn't handle anyone in the room. I couldn't talk through anything with him. Even if I would ask a question to, you know, how are you feeling today? And then have a couple follow-up questions, he might be able to answer the first one, but then as my questions persisted, It taxed him too much, and he became very irritable with it. And so his entire persona and the way that he interacted with virtually everyone had completely changed. But with other people, for brief moments of time, he could sort of put on a front. But when he was at home, he was just completely overwhelmed.
So he could do the pastoral greetings. Good sure. to see you today. How's life? I was praying for this week.
Right.
But when it came to, well, we need to have a serious conversation because one of our kids did X, Y, or Z, that conversation just couldn't happen.
Right. And anything that required any basic decision making, even, you know, do you have an opinion about what you want for dinner? Are you hungry? He couldn't even answer those questions. He couldn't tell me what he wanted to eat. He couldn't tell me even, I mean, there were many times he couldn't even tell me that, whether or not he was hungry. And I began having to make every decision for him to the, I mean, everything to what he wanted to eat, to just serving food. And normally, prior to the TBI, I would try to consider him in every decision that we were making, even just, you know, what's going to be for dinner tonight, to see if he had any preferences or anything like that. And he couldn't do anything like that. No, any decision making was completely out of the question.
Now, I want us to think for a minute. I need to tell you some backstory to get some context to this. I thought it might be helpful to talk about this kind of counselee and how it looks to care for them. So the two stories that I'm going to mingle together are one, theirs. I'll tell you a little bit about, more about them in a second. But it's also one of our own sons. So his name is Samuel. He's a junior at Cedarville University right now. And our road with him and his TBI started when he was in the seventh grade. Went to a trampoline park, and in a freak accident, struck heads with another kid, and he got completely knocked out. Came to, continued to play, thought he was fine. By wrestling practice later on that afternoon, he was feeling terrible. Came home, but we didn't think much of it except that it was an accident. I mean, get some rest and you'll be okay tomorrow. In reality, that started a whole string of additional concussions in 8th, 9th, 10th grade. We don't even know exactly how many he had. We now know that that initial one would have been labeled a mild TBI if we had thought about it and understood it. And then at the same time, those years, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, were very difficult spiritually, because he was struggling with anxiety and anger, thoughts of self-harm, spiritual apathy. And so we ended up in this alphabet soup of issues. He struggled to sleep. He struggled with disturbing voices. He struggled with verbal bullying, which then led either to thoughts of self-harm or thoughts of other harm. He struggled with pride, struggled with God, and he struggled with anger at many of us. These were uncharacteristics of our son. He had changed, but it was not for the better. Our little one was the happiest guy ever. I mean, neighbors used to stop by just to say hi to him because he always had a pirate hat on. Like, always. And our neighbors would stop by to see how the pirate was doing. He hardly ever got spanked because he hardly ever disobeyed. He was tender. He hated to see anyone suffer. And he would rescue anything alive. Bug, worm, didn't matter. If it was alive, he would find a home for it. But he was different. The new version was rarely happy, more inclined to push limits, a callousness toward people. Instead of caring for them, it was like, who gives a rip about you? His personality seemed different. And we were hanging on what felt like by our fingertips. We were struggling to know, what is injury? What's life's circumstance? And what spiritual responses? Now, by God's grace, things are very different today. We have seen a lot in the last 6-year journey, but I thought it might be valuable, and he was willing to share all this for what this journey looked like. And then you met Darren and Katrina briefly. I met this couple 20 years ago during my first pastoral ministry. And ironically, our first interaction was not overly positive. I was new to pastoral ministry, and those two decided they were going to meet and then marry in like 3 days, and they wanted me to do the wedding in like 3 days with no premarital counseling. And I refused.